The moment you've all been waiting for.
You what?
Well, that hit the spot.
Welcome back to the Goss Goss with myself, Alexandra Ryan, and Goss.ie editor Kendra Becker. This is a Monaco Grand Prix special.
Your voice is gone.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I had to do an
RTE segment on Monday. Right, the Grand Prix was on Sunday. I got to bed at 5.
What?
And I didn't wake up till midday. And I totally had forgotten that I had said I would do it. And they're like, are you good to go? And I woke up being like, hello.
Oh my
I was
God.
Like, shit. Yeah, so I had to be like, like, oh my God, I was so tired. I had not a voice left in me.
Were you all talking about the Grand Prix?
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, I did. So we might as well jump straight into it because I was at the Monaco Grand Prix and Jesus, what? I think I went to like a historical Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Like the race alone.
So many things happened.
But Kim K being there. Like we have to talk about all of it. It was just probably the best
trip of a
lifetime.
Like
it was just incredible. It was so much better than I thought it was going to be. So I only decided to go a couple of weeks ago. Like I wasn't sure if I was going to go, but I've always said like I want to do the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So I had no tickets, like no bookings, nothing up until literally a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Me and just two of the girls, we were like, let's just basically go over and like figure it out. And I just heard that Monaco is a good one to go to because even if you can't get tickets, there's literally people just lining the streets.
Yeah.
Because it's like the way Monaco is shaped. Like when I was actually down at the track on the Friday, we got grandstand tickets on the Friday. So we were actually right beside the pit stop. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I looked around and like there was people literally like miles and miles and miles away, but they obviously could still see because they were all at a height, like looking down.
Yeah.
So basically on the Friday, we went to the Red Bull Energy Station and that was thanks to Pepe Jean's racing. That was incredible. So basically it was a floating dock. I don't know if you looked it up to see what it is.
Yeah, they always have those in Monaco and then they have the little pool kind of thing.
Yeah, where Danny Ricciardo famously backflipped into it. So I knew that was happening, but I didn't understand like how exclusive it was. So we got like a private Red Bull tender, which is like a boat from one part of Monaco into that. And then we to get off at this kind of private area, and every single clip of Kim Kardashian is her getting on and off at the exact same dock.
Yeah.
So we shared the same dock. Okay.
Wow. All so sad clips. You didn't properly see her.
I know. I was
but like
so
she
close
was just
to her
surrounded
times.
By security the whole time.
If I had been near Red Bull Energy on the Saturday, because we were just in different places all the time, it would have been really easy to see her, because when you come off that private dock, you're basically just walking into the whole main area.
Yeah.
So that's why there's so many videos of her getting out. So on the Friday, we like pulled up and it was like free drink all day, food. Red Bull had like loads of their, like, what are they called? The extreme.
Like their athletes.
Yeah, extreme athletes there. So there was like a guy in a motorbike jumping over people and like doing all these mad things and dance offs and stuff. So I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then we were just like walking around getting pics or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, there's Max Verstappen just sitting there.
Just in amongst everyone.
Nearly died. Yeah. Like how much he gets paid out of his contract to have to go to that, I'd say. But he was just sitting there drinking Red Bull. And I was like, am I seeing things? Like, is this a mirage? I literally like thumped the girls because we were walking away. I was like, that's fucking Max Verstappen. So we literally just bent over and like sat there. We were right beside him.
Yeah.
Just like chilling, and he was just chatting
away. Do
you think
he's definitely contracted to be there? Like, he was hardly just there.
Yeah,
chilling.
The whole point they were saying of the Red Bull thing is that like it's also the staff quarters. So it's so large, but above us, above the pool, there was like three floors, and then there was a fourth floor, and all the staff and everything were there. Max was in there. Kajar was there as well. And Yuki was there too. Like literally all of the Red Bull drivers, Liam Lawless was there. They were all just chilling, having a Red Bull. I was like, oh my, I just wasn't expecting that to happen.
So crazy.
And then they had talks and everything with Yuki. So like you got to properly meet the drivers. Like it was wild. And obviously you're there trying to act cool, but I was also but that event was really cool. And that day, that was the practice day, we went down to the grandstand and that was just like amazing.
And like, who were the other people there? Like, was there other press there, other influencers?
No, it was like influencers, schlebs, like, but F1 people mainly.
Yeah.
Like there weren't random people there. It was all people that would be into F1. I met Alex Haddon, you know, the guy who does all the people watching videos. I think he's so funny. He was there. And then there was a couple of other like you'd recognize them, yeah, like
but F1. Very much F1 influencers.
Yeah, like I didn't see anybody like random. Now there was a couple of like big influencers that my friends were saying, oh, did you see blah blah, but I was like, who, you know me, like I was like, what?
Yeah,
one or two of them were around, but it was right beside the paddock, and obviously that's where all the massive celebrities are at, so like most of the big celebs were actually in the paddock by all the pit stops and stuff, yeah, like that. So that was incredible to be that close to, because we could see people. So that was the Friday. Oh my god, I actually feel like I had 5 days, and every day, what did we do that night? We went out that night as well. There's this place called La Rascasse, which is basically facing the track, and that was where everybody ended up most nights. So we went there.
And are they like official after parties, or like...
The official after party we went to was in the Amber Lounge. That was on Sunday night. Yeah. That was really, really
and
good.
And do you need like
and
a
Roger
ticket?
Sanchez was DJing at it.
Who's
like
that?
You know the DJ, Roger Sanchez?
Another chance.
Huh?
This tune is another chance.
Yeah, he's a really famous DJ.
Oh.
Yeah. People could buy tickets. I'm going to say it's such, like such a pants now. I obviously didn't buy any tickets to anything. Yeah. But I think you could get tickets to that. But Sunset and Amber Lounge... Like, it was really exclusive to get in. And when you put them, when they were putting the things on your wristbands, they nearly, like, stabbed me with them. They, like, tightened them so much that nobody could, like, get in through them. But yeah, I'm trying to actually remember where we went on Friday night. This is where I went on Friday after that. I went and met Rob Kenny and Shane Cassidy on their mini moon.
So random that they were there.
And they were in, of course, they were in, like, the Hermitage Hotel, which is, like, the most famous, richest, most expensive hotel.
Didn't, like, someone get them tickets to the Grand Prix as, like, a wedding present, but neither of them are interested in Formula
One. Oh yeah, they
at
left
all.
Early, like you told me. So he was trying to, they were right beside the big Moët pool. Had you seen the shot of that? They're right beside that. But you know, so I met them for drinks. They're telling me all about the wedding and all about their mini moon. But like, it's just so funny. They'd obviously booked this ages ago. And I was like, how did you even get a table in the Hermitage tonight? Like, it's literally 60 grand a night to stay there just for the Grand Prix. Normally it's like 2.5 grand, but it was 60,000 a night.
Oh my god, how much was a drink? I'd say it was like 50 euro, wasn't it?
Oh Jesus. Oh, I can't remember. I remember splitting the bill pretty late at night time, though. It was expensive enough. But to be honest, Monaco is always expensive, so like I kind of knew that. But we had one of the girls I was chatting to, she was there with some of the Red Bull guys, and their hotel was 40 grand a night.
What?
Yeah,
who has that kind of money? Like,
but I saw some really cool people while I was there. So firstly, I saw Gunther.
Oh, Gunther Steiner.
I was literally starstruck that I like smiled at him as if we knew each other. I'd say he thought I was
an absolute freak.
No, I honestly was so starstruck by him.
He would definitely do a selfie.
He was walking towards me and I literally went like, hey, as if we knew each other. And he was kind of like, okay, you fucking weirdo. So he was one of my favorite people that I saw. On the Saturday then, we basically went to a balcony, which was basically all the big apartments in Monaco rent out for these like massive VIP parties. That was actually a crazy experience. So that was at turn one. That's where I was, and that was like amazing. So that was for Quali Day. We got to see all the Qualis there. That was a really, really good day. And then that night, I want to say, is the night that we went to La Rascasse. So that was really good. So then Sunday was race day, and I basically got us tickets to this restaurant viewing, which is right beside the paddock. It's hard to explain it all, because like you can't actually even go near the circuit at all, so even like the restaurants that are down there, everything is closed off.
It's so dangerous, like you'd be hit and die.
But like, it's not even that, like all of the streets are actually cordoned off by grates. It's more that like you're not allowed access. You have to have tickets to even be near it,
right?
So like you cannot get near the course at all unless you have a ticket and a wristband.
So how do you even get around the place then?
You have
if there's
to have
just
a ticket
barriers
or a
everywhere.
Once you get into the kind of paddock area, then there's like proper roads if you have it. But if you don't have a wristband and you don't have like a proper lanyard, you literally cannot get anywhere close to the track. Yeah. So you have to go up from a height. That's how people.
Yeah.
So on that day, we basically went to a place called Morius, which was right beside the paddock club and right beside the media center. So it was such an amazing location, because obviously after the race, all the winners went and did media. So they all came our direction afterwards. There was only maybe about 10 of us outside the restaurant, and literally Lewis, Kimmy, they just came right out. I was like, oh, I actually nearly died myself.
No, Lewis Hamilton.
And I met him twice. He came in at the start, and all weekend
did you squeal? Like, were you
I literally was like, I definitely shouted his name. I like blacked out. I was like, oh my god, he's so beautiful in person. Like, I've seen him before, but not that close. Like, he was as close to you as you are to me now.
Oh my god, dead.
And it was so funny all weekend. I was like, I want to get a cap when I'm here, but I'll get it like at the end of the trip. Fucking idiot. Like, he signed everybody's caps. I didn't have any cap on me. I actually wanted to.
Did you not get him sign your dress? Boob or something?
Honestly was like, well, I just got him to fucking sign my dress. I was actually devastated. And then I was like, maybe we'll get a pic, but he wasn't really doing that. He was more like signing things.
Oh my God, did you not have a ticket or anything? You could have got him.
No, I literally, at this point, I had nothing in my hand. Just my cream dress. It could have been signed, but I was like, how do I get this up to him? Do I just like turn upon him and be like, sign my ass?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it was still so cool to meet him. And then obviously Kimmy came out, who won the race, and he was so nice. Oh my God, he's so sweet. He's only like 19.
Yeah. Like, the two other lads on the podiums are both younger combined than Lewis.
I know.
Isn't that wild?
But Lewis was, like, so cute with them, I thought. Yeah. He was, like, a big brother or a dad. But Kimmy, there's loads of posts always that go around of him posing with, like, Toto, Lewis, over the years.
As a child.
Yeah. Like, so I could... He was, like, really adamant that he was going to come out and take photos with, like, his fans. There was, like, a few people in Mercedes stuff, and he, like, took selfies with them. So, like, he was really, like, oh, my God. But it was so funny. Like, we were just, like, standing in this area, and then security came out. They're like, sorry, guys, you're going to have to move, obviously, in French, and screaming at us. But Alex Albon came out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he was just like, sorry, I just need to get my moped. And his moped was beside us. So I haven't even put this video up, but I have a full video of him just getting his helmet on. And then Carlos Sainz came out, and his girlfriend got on a moped too, and they all, and she was in this like stunning white dress. She had to like pull up her dress. We basically were in their moped area.
Oh my
God. So pretty much all of the drivers had to come past us.
I actually saw a clip of that on like Sky Sports F1 or something, of all of them like getting on mopeds.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah,
they were like, when you go from driving a supercar to,
I know, I must put the video up. It's very, very funny. So yeah, I feel like I met so many of them while I was there, which was just like iconic.
Yeah.
But like, I've always said this, like, since I've kind of worked in this entertainment world, like, I don't really get starstruck anymore. Like, I've just met so many people, I don't care. But when I saw Gunther and when I saw Lewis
Gunther of all people,
like, I was just like, especially Lewis, obviously, like, I was just like Donald Gleeson vibes.
Lewis,
again,
like, Lewis Hamilton is Kim Kardashian's boyfriend. Like, the,
well, I don't care about
the
Kim,
degrees
the
of
Kim,
no, I care about
you
Kim.
Care that way, yeah.
The degrees of separation, like,
I breathe the same air that Kim did, yeah, basically, as Lewis. I don't really care that they're going out, but it was very interesting to see it all live there. Like, all week long, everyone was like betting whether Kim was coming.
Yeah.
I was the only person that was like, she is going to come, and she's going to go into the paddock. Everyone was like, there's no way she's coming. She's not going to go to the paddock. It would take too much blah, 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 like publicity and stuff. But I was like, no, out of all of them, Monaco makes the most sense. Yeah. All the celebrities are here. Like, this is the time for her to come. So she came the first day, and she wore obviously that black lace top and the denim jeans.
Yeah.
The hate that she got.
I thought
from
that was,
I thought that
was a cool look, but her look for
day
the Sunday was
so,
so
she wore
weird.
Gucci
Fire
all weekend. All weekend. It was Gucci, that guy who
but
used to.
But that dress did not sit right on her.
It was probably made for her, though. It's
but
just the way
just
you know, she likes to be different. I didn't
and
like
she styled it with like black court shoes. It was just so random.
Now, I personally liked the black lace and the denim.
Yeah, I liked that.
But a lot of people down there, like a lot of big F1 influencers stuff, they were all saying she was way too casual. And I was like, but today is like quality day. Like, I think that's normal to be kind of casual.
I'd say she wanted to avoid being real like OTT as well.
I actually controversially preferred Chloe's outfits all weekend. I thought
she
looked amazing.
Chloe looked cool.
She looked amazing.
But Kim's outfit on the Sunday, it just looked so bizarre. And like, she had such an opportunity to look really cool, like F1 wag.
But Gucci styled her, you see. So I don't know. They obviously wanted her to wear all that stuff. And you know, Gucci obviously is going to be like the partner for Monaco Grand Prix next year. It's Louis Vuitton this year. So like, her wearing Gucci all weekend was
surely
obviously,
Kim has a bit more pull than that, though. She could.
She obviously loved the outfit, though, and the fact that her and Chloe were like pairing all the time, they were matching. But yeah, so she came on. So basically, she came on the Saturday, and everyone was like, "Oh my god!" And like, there's loads of videos of like all the wags, like the F1 wags, like looking for Kim, and like normally they're the ones that are like center of attention.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the video of George Russell and his partner, and they're like waiting for Lewis's new girlfriend. So she obviously came on the Saturday, and then Saturday night she went to a party, and she wore, I don't know if you saw that outfit, it was a Gucci
Crystal-y
leather
one.
No, that was the last night. On Saturday night, she wore like this black leather jacket and black leather pants.
Yes, I saw that.
She
looked
really
cool.
That was the first night. And then on the Sunday, obviously she wore the cream. I didn't love it either, but it was mental to see how public they're being about their romance now.
Yeah,
like, it was huge for her to be there. But when he was on the podium, like, He blew a kiss to her. Yeah. He poured champagne on her. Like, he Did you see the video of her afterwards? Yeah. And all her security have like towels on her. And one of the security guards put an umbrella up when he was doing it to try and stop it. There was a part of me was a bit like, come on, lads. They kind of treated her a little bit like Princess Diana at some points. Like, she was there with Lewis to be part of the Grand Prix. Her security a few times I thought fucked it up, including the Martin Brundle incident.
I mean, like,
that was just ridiculous.
Someone should have told her. Lewis should have told her. If this guy comes up to you on the grid, you need to speak to him.
So basically, for anyone who doesn't really watch
F1,
the Sky News, Sky Sports coverage, Martin Brundle, like, all his life, I feel, has been down on the track, and he always speaks to celebrities, like, literally Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt. And whenever a celeb refuses to speak to him, people feel like physically, like, protective of him almost. It's like, how rude of you. Like, he's an icon. And he
went. National treasure.
National treasure. And you would think that, because in fairness to Kim Wright, she doesn't watch F1. There's just no way.
She obviously had no idea.
But even if she did watch F1, Sky Sports is not the coverage in the US. So, like, she just wouldn't know who he is. How Lewis didn't say, there's going
to
be one guy in a red and blue mic, and if you see him, like, just say hi. So the video is so awkward. And the problem about knowing he didn't brief her, she obviously did not know it was live. Because Kim is known for always, like, taking selfies, for stopping for people. She clearly had no idea they were live
streaming.
I'd
say she's mortified by it.
But obviously her team did get involved in that. Like, they were telling her to move on. They weren't like, no, like, that's Martin Brundle. They were like, yeah, move on.
Because you could see she was like, what? And someone was whispering in her ear.
Like, move on.
Yeah.
But, like, all he was saying was, like, are you enjoying the F1?
But she obviously thought he was just a random reporter guy.
But what really pissed me off is when your man shoved him. And he was like, don't shove me, mate.
Like, I was like, I'm nearly famous, mate.
I was like, Martin, no, are you okay? But that went down very, very badly. And did you see on our post, Nicola Watkins, like, the PR for Netflix, tagged Lewis and tagged Martin, being like, how did you not brief her?
Yeah.
And, like, because it was her first, it kind of really felt like Prince Harry and Meghan Markle vibes. Like, there's some things that should have been explained, like, how to curtsy in F1. It's like, you speak to Martin, like, it's not that difficult. So I thought that was a really bad look. And every time I saw clips of her team were too much on her all the time. Like, she was in with F1 royalty all the time. Like,
I did see one or two clips of her, like, actually stopping and getting some selfies with people, but her team were very much like that clip of Holly Willoughby and Michael McIntyre being interviewed.
So
they're being interviewed live on Sky Sports. And all of a sudden, there was just this flurry of people, and they literally got pushed aside by their entire Kim and Khloe's whole entourage.
Yeah.
And Michael McIntyre's like, oh, it's the Kardashians.
It was so funny.
But this is what
I mean. It was too, like, Princess Diana for me. It's like, yeah, I get that she's famous, but this is a serious sport. And, like, there's other really huge people here.
Yeah, like,
so, like,
there's
it wasn't,
loads of celebrities here.
Like, I don't know. I just thought it was too much. She seemed more relaxed once she got upstairs above the pit and stuff, and you could see her talking to, like, Alexandra Clare, which was, like, iconic. Like, and I loved her, seeing her with the Ferrari little, like, noise cancellation headphones.
Yeah.
She looked cute, but I think overall she fucked it a little bit, though.
Yeah.
Like, Lewis should have either explained it to her, or else maybe he did and her team were too intense. But the people down in the paddock, like, she was around, like, the right people. They weren't random psycho fans. Do you know what I mean? Like, celebrities were
no
all
one was
over
trying
the place.
To grab her or anything, like.
No. So,
but
I thought
the Martin
it was a bit
Brundle
much.
Thing was the biggest mistake, I think, because all she needed to do was being like, oh,
so happy to be here,
so happy to be here, having so much fun, and then walk away.
Yeah,
like, that's it. She didn't need to talk
but
about
also
Lewis
with
or anything.
The champagne, like, being poured on her, that's, like, iconic. It's like, it's such a big deal to get that, and then her team to be like, umbrella up, towels up. I'm like, has she not seen the F1?
Yeah.
That's what happens around the podium.
Like, it would have been so much cooler
if
she
like
embraced it.
Yeah.
It was like, woo!
But instead, like, she was kind of like, oh no, I'm wet.
And Kim loves a good camera moment as well. Like, surely that would have been such a good moment.
It really screamed to me that she's never watched the coverage in her life.
Yeah,
that she had no understanding of, like, what was going to happen if he was to end up on the podium. Now, I am so happy for Lewis, though, and there's been a lot of questions over whether the romance is real or not, but that interview after he won, have you seen it? He literally looks like a smitten little teenager. Like, he obviously is, like, obsessed with
her.
And there's a few photos on Demois, I don't know if you saw, of, like, them later on. Yeah. And they're kissing. And then, her outfit on the Sunday night with the black. That was really, really nice.
Yeah.
So she looked good then. But I mean, it was great to have her there. Like, everyone was talking about it. And it was, like, a sprinkle of Hollywood and stuff. But there is still work to be done there. Like, I do think she needs to understand what it means to be in the paddock, like how she's meant to act. She is being watched from literally every single angle. It's why it kind of reminds you of Meghan Markle. It's like she does kind of need to know what she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, like there's
so like Lewis obviously didn't tell her.
There is kind of like, I suppose, F1 etiquette. Yeah, almost. Literally. She needs to kind of learn the ropes kind of thing. And yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see her at a Grand Prix for a while.
I would say, to be honest, because of the Martin thing, she will probably go soon and she'll say something to him. And try like, justify herself. Yeah, I think she'll just have to. I would guarantee you she's going to be at Silverstone. It's in 3.5 weeks.
And that's his home race. Yeah.
And he's doing really, really well at the moment. Like, to see him on the podium again was just amazing.
I know.
The Spanish Grand Prix is this weekend. I don't think she's going to be at that. No. But I would. And Silverstone is so huge. Like, from a security point of view, she'd actually be way better off going to Silverstone. Yeah. It's all private cars in and out. Again, Monaco, as much as I loved it, dear God, my feet. Like, I have plasters all over my feet now. Like,
yeah, I saw your feet earlier. I was like, oh my God.
So basically, it's so complicated, right? But one of the biggest problems with the Monaco Grand Prix and Monaco in general is you cannot get Uber in Monaco. You can get an Uber to Monaco,
yeah,
but you cannot get it when you're there. So that means your only way out is like private hire taxis.
Yeah.
So imagine trying to get that when really quarter expensive. Of a million people are also trying to get these private taxis. They're extremely expensive. They're like 5 times the price. So what most people were doing, it's so funny to say it, they were basically walking up to France to pass the border to get an Uber to try and leave Monaco. Well, you're that close to France. It's literally on the edge of Monaco. So like all you had to do was like get a lift basically from the train station and you're in France. It was that close. But again, we've 250,000 people here.
But you not need to do fucking passport control and stuff?
No, not actually walking in and out. You don't have to. It's only if you fly in. Yeah. Okay. So that sounds great, like you just get a lift, but then you remember that there's 250,000 people there.
Yeah.
So on the Saturday, we wanted to go back to France. We just needed to go and get dinner somewhere before we were going to parties in Monaco, and everywhere was booked out in Monaco.
Right.
So we're like, oh, just get the lift up. Went in and the queue was like an hour to get to the lift. So
As in it's a physical lift?
It's just like it's just a train station elevator.
Oh,
it's one elevator that goes up to the train station floor, and that second floor, when you walk out, you're back in France again.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's that close. Like, it's just up.
Right.
So because Monaco is all on a hill, basically, if you get to the top of that hill, you're in France.
You're in France.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were like, right, we need to go. It's that, you know, that photo of me looking over like the whole ocean. It's like in the background and I'm in the cream denim dress and there's like a big ship behind me. Monaco's all behind me. Anyway,
right.
When we went to get that photo and get some food, the elevators were so busy, right? So one of the guys in the train station was like, oh, just take the stairs there. And we were like, Grant, it was 14 flights of stairs.
Oh,
there
so you was, basically had to get a stairs up a mountain, like?
It was indoors, like a fire exit stairs. Have you ever seen that episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine where they do the Halloween heist?
No.
And like there's this episode where they like have to go up like 20 flights of stairs and Peralta like vomits when he gets to the top. Like, I am telling you, it was literally as
and
tight.
You're obviously in heels, right?
Yeah, but you know like our stairs here, how tight they are at the very top. It was 14 of those, and there was 3 of those every, so it was 14 by 3 sets of stairs.
Oh my God.
And I was leading it at the very top, and there was like 30 people with us, and everyone behind was like nearly vomiting, dying. There was men behind us being like, I can't do this. I was like, come on guys, we got this. I nearly crawled by the time
like
we got to the top.
Crowpatrick.
No, like it was worse than Crowpatrick. It was worse than Crowpatrick. And then we all just got out and like nobody spoke to each other for a few minutes. It was the most difficult thing I've like ever done in my life. It was honestly harder than Crowpatrick because it was so steep and I was in heels. So then we got to the top and we were all just like,
what kind of heels were you wearing?
We're like, right, we gotta pick
like a stiletto.
I was in those black Zara heels with a little gold ball on it.
So they're not really high, but
no,
still.
But they were like wiry. That's why I have plasters all over them.
Yeah.
So that was really, really hard. But like on a daily basis, I checked my phone and we were averaging like 20,000 steps a day just to walk around. So that was really hard. Anyway, we went out every single night. And you know me, like, I'm not a going out person, okay? Went out every night. Went to, like, now, did I eat a single thing the whole trip? I only ate literally in the last day. Like, everything we went to, because we were invited to things, they were,
just
like, canapes.
And canapes.
Yeah, like, a few little canapes. So I was starving and, like, just not properly eating. So I didn't really drink too much either because I was like, I'll be locked if I... So I didn't really drink much. But I was so exhausted. So we went out Friday night, like we're drinking all day Friday, Saturday the same, and then Sunday. So we got to bed at like, I want to say 5 a.m. on Sunday, and Lagerite was the next day. And like, we obviously all had our Lagerite outfits. we were like, this is going to be the best one because it's the Monday after the Grand Prix. And like when we were getting into bed at 5, the three of us were like, there's no way we can go to Lagri tomorrow. And our dinner, our table was at 3, but we were like, I can't, we were dead. Like none of us had voices left.
Oh, no.
We were exhausted. We'd walked the fucking like,
the Camino, basically.
That was the day we had walked up the flights of stairs as well. Yeah. And we were just like, we can't do it. So we woke up the next morning and my friend who had the table in Lagri was like, oh, are you guys coming? Like I have your things. And I looked at the girls and I was like, I can't. And they were like, no, I'm not gonna. So we went to Nice instead and we had like a beach day and it was lovely. But while we were there, I had friends in Lagerich.
Oh, no.
And I started being sent videos of Lando Norris arriving, one of the drivers, and then Alex Earl arriving, and then all these videos of Alex and Stassi and Lando. But you know what? I actually didn't care at all. No, there was not one part of me that was like, fuck, I should have gone. Like, I cannot explain to you how tired I was.
Oh my God.
Even seeing the videos, I was like, I don't care. I was exhausted. Like,
yeah.
Even that day at the beach club, we were like, will we get a magnum of rosé? And I was like, you can get it, lads, but like, I can't.
I can't.
Drink. I literally had like one glass of it. So, yes, I missed Alex and Lando. The amount of exclusive content we would have had on Goss from it.
Yeah.
But no, even now talking about it, I have no regrets. Like, there's no way I could have gone there.
Yeah, because
like,
it's need such to an ordeal to get to there. Like, you have to get a boat there and shit.
But, like, it's really high tempo there. Like, everyone's dancing on tables and...
Yeah, you couldn't just go and sit in the corner, like...
No. And, you know, actually, the table that Lando and Alex ended up on was the table I was at a couple of weeks ago with my friend. Shout out to Steph, because she always listens to the podcast. Woo! We were there for her birthday. But, like, one of the girls who'd booked the table, like, 5 people had pulled out from the table because everyone was, like, dead inside.
Oh, God.
And she was like, I am the walking dead today. And I was like, no, I can't. And I didn't even drink much, but I was just... So tired.
Yeah.
So Sunday night, that's the night that we went to Amber Lounge, where the DJ was. And Sunset is a really famous club too. And Sunset and Amber Lounge are kind of connected. So,
and were any of the like drivers out partying?
Did I see any of the drivers out partying?
On Sunday?
They probably were. I don't know. I don't think I saw any of them in where we were in Amber Lounge.
They probably maybe
Oh, sorry.
Their own,
there was
like,
3 places, right? So Jimmy's,
parties.
Sunset and Amber Lounge, and Kim and Lewis went to Jimmy's. They did go there.
Oh.
We were in between the 3, basically. So like everyone kind of went between all 3, but we just went to Amber Lounge. Like I had to go home. I'm so tired. But a few people had been in Sunset, and then some of the Ferrari people were in Jimmy's. So and then Lara Scott was another place too. But there was just like some days we went to 4 different locations before 11 p.m. like,
yeah,
and then it was like, let's go for more drinks. I was just like, I'm so and because I wasn't drinking that much, like I wasn't like energized to stay out either. But no, it was a once in a lifetime experience. Like I'm so glad I have severe like blues today. Like severe blues. I'm just back. Oh, sorry, my flight was also an hour delayed. And we like had to rush to get to the
Coming
airport.
Back.
Yeah, flying back was a fucking disaster.
Where did you fly from? Nice.
Yeah. But like, because again, everyone was leaving Monaco.
No.
There was a lot of like feeling like a rat in a cage a few times because there was just so many people there. But when we got there by the skin of our teeth, basically to the airport.
Yeah.
And then they were delayed by like 45 minutes. And then I got on the tarmac and it was another 45 minutes.
Oh,
I was like, I can't
hell.
Deal with this. But then we got back and I was in literally like a little kind of shorts and top outfit and sandals, and it was lashing rain, then started hail stoning. I was like, right.
The weather here has been crazy over the past few days.
It was
like
very
lashing
depressing. But like life on the French Riviera, like it is really addictive. Like I love a good sun holiday, but there's something about being in the south of France. It's just like the lifestyle there.
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of the feeling I have when I'm in LA. It's just like you kind of feel like you're with your people. Like I don't know how to explain it. It's just like everyone, like anytime we met anyone at any dinner or drinks or anything, like we all just got on so well. There's just such an amazing atmosphere there.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of into the same things. Now, actually, we were at one of the beach clubs yesterday. There was a guy beside us and he was like WhatsApping his friends back in London. And he was like, yeah, guys, like we just threw an extra 20K on the yacht, you know, just blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I'm not in with that crew.
Oh,
but like
God.
Everyone was just there living their best lives. Like I just loved it so much. I really, really did.
Lewis and Kim were obviously staying on a yacht.
Yeah, a super yacht.
I wonder, is it like his personal yacht?
There was lots of super
doesn't
yachts.
Doesn't he like live in Monaco? I think Lewis. He does, yeah.
Oh, does he?
Pretty sure he does.
I don't know. I know I some of the drivers do. There. I know some of the drivers live there. I don't know if Lewis
Charles
does.
Is from there. Charles Leclerc.
Charles is from there. There's another.
God, he had an absolute
Max
howler,
lives
he?
There sometimes. I know.
That clip of him like screaming in the radio.
And with the private restaurant thing that we were in, were obviously all Monacans. I don't know how do you pronounce
it. Monaskin?
Monaskins.
Monagas.
Monacans.
Apologies to
apologies to all. But everyone in the restaurant was wearing like Leclerc tops. Yeah. And when he went out, like the screams in the restaurant. People literally stood up and screamed. They're like, Leclerc!
Leclerc!
But because we were actually Leclerc! Beside the track, we heard it's the screams as well. It was a really cool place to watch it because we were like in the track.
Yeah.
But also in the restaurant. So yeah, there was screams. Actually, the first day when we did the practice and we were down in the grandstand, I honestly nearly fainted in the heat. It was so hot. But who crashed out? Carla or Perez? Did you see that clip in the practice? He literally drove into like a barrier, but we were at the barrier, so we were like happened in front of us. Fucking it was hell. Just the coolest weekend. All these mad things happened. I thought the race on Sunday was like dramatic as fuck.
Yeah.
The fact that the race was even stopped, like everyone there was like, it's gonna have to end now. Yeah. They're not gonna resume it. We were like, oh my god, no. And I was like, Kim's first F1 and doesn't get finished.
But like the whole thing with Charles, he was like, I'm not taking the blame for this, and it's all about the brakes or whatever.
I actually think it was the track, to be honest.
But like, is his car not the same as Lewis's?
See, they all make slight adjustments to things, and a lot of people say that the way the teams create the cars is for the first driver.
Yeah.
I remember last year he had a shit show of a year.
Yeah.
And he was basically saying the car doesn't suit me. So they can make changes every season. They obviously made changes this year and it suits Lewis and it doesn't suit Charles. Mm. That seems to be the problem with all of the teams except for McLaren, because it suits both Lando and Oscar.
Yeah.
But it seems that like with the big, like same with Max, like it's Max's car basically.
Yeah.
So I think it's meant to be Lewis's car this year. And even the fact that Charles was behind Lewis for the race, I don't think he loved that either.
Yeah.
I really wanted Lewis
he
to win.
He always does crash out though, as in like mentally poor crashes Charles. Out when he like when this happens.
I know when
to
he
him.
Put up his post the next day, it was like a day to forget. I was like, oh no.
I know, it's so dramatic.
It's so sad. But it's like their whole life.
I know.
But I think it's
especially
hard.
Especially when it's your home race as
did
well.
Did you see when Max crashed out like 5 seconds in, they did an interview with him and they're like, what's your plans now? And he's like, oh, I'm setting home. He didn't even stay for the race. He was seen with his backpack just like heading off on the tender and he was like, see ya. He doesn't give a shit like at all.
Oh,
I do
God.
Like him now though, now that I've spent like time around him. I actually think he's a nice person, because you remember before I was like,
now
I don't like Max. Now that we're
friends.
Besties, me and Maxie and Lulu and Kim but in fairness, what I was going to say is you couldn't begrudge Kimmy for winning. He's so nice.
He's
when he
cute.
Wins a race, everyone's like, fair play, like dreams do come true, like you're amazing. So there's no like begrudgery. And the amount of hate Toto got for putting him in, and like they were like, he's not ready. Obviously our own Alex as well, he was there on Friday.
Alex Stone.
He was there on Saturday for F2. I actually watched that race, and he was on the podium again.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he
was, I didn't
came
see that.
In second. Yeah, so like he is such like, I'd love him to become like an actual,
I'd say he will,
F1 driver. And then did I see anyone else? They were kind of the main people. But yeah, like absolute weekend of my dreams. But I would say to anyone who loves the F1, just go. Like you don't own a ticket. Like I didn't technically have a ticket to any day. I did get a ticket to Sunday in the end, but it was like a slightly different pass. I wasn't sitting in the grandstand, but I was like down
it
by the paddock.
It wasn't like a proper race day
no,
ticket.
No, but there's a lot of places there you can watch it from. Like Nikki Beach is one, La Rascasse. You can pay basically to go to where the nightclub balconies are.
Mm.
Or apartment balconies. Now on the Sunday, some of the apartment balconies were like $3,500 just to stand there,
just to be there.
And then I looked into some of the yacht packages to see how much they were, just out of interest, like and on the Sunday they were like starting at $4,000 just to stand
and
there,
and that's to just be on some random fucker's yacht. Like
I actually saw Alex on her boat actually, because on the Saturday she was parked where our balcony was looking, she was on the other side on the boat.
Yeah.
So I actually saw her and Stassi on that boat.
I loved their content from the weekend with Jake Shane. It was very funny.
I wonder, they were on the Aloe yacht, were they?
Looked like they were.
Aloe were driving around all weekend in their little tenders picking people up. Their boats look really, really, they looked really, really
are
cool.
Are they like a sponsor, or did they just
they were a
do
sponsor
that?
This year. Okay. Yeah. So you kind of have to be over there with a sponsor.
Yeah.
But for anyone listening that just actually loves the Grand Prix, if I was to say go over for any, I would say fuck the rest of them and go to Monaco.
Yeah.
Because every other Grand Prix, they're so isolated. Like Silverstone is like an airport. It's so big. It takes like a half an hour to get to just half of the other side, an hour to go the whole way around.
Yeah.
Like it's so insane. And then Barcelona, again, it's really enclosed. But you could literally just be walking around Monaco, yeah. especially up at the height and be still in
and
France.
And even just being there for the atmosphere of it all.
So
like,
good.
You know?
Like, all the bars were open. People were, like, dancing in the street. There kept being parties outside the Hermitage Hotel where I met Rob and Shane. Like, every day there was, like, bands and, like, performances. 50 Cent performed on Thursday night.
So rad.
Yeah, there was just... I felt it was like going to the World Cup. Like, that's what I felt like. Everyone was just there. And you could stay in Nice, which isn't that expensive, or like Antibes. Like, no one actually fucking stayed in Monaco. Like, 60 grand a night, are you okay? Like, there wasn't an Airbnb to be found. Like, but you could just stay in Nice, and it was only like a 20 minute drive from Nice to get into Monaco.
I didn't realize that it's so close.
So close. The fact that they were like, oh, we head up the lift back to France. I was like, this is so weird.
Back to another country.
But also, Monaco doesn't have any roaming, so we had to buy sim. Oh, there was a whole rigmarole. But no, it was...
So what did you do? Buy an eSIM?
Yeah, I got an eSIM, and got unlimited data because we were like, good luck to that. It was like 10 euro per megabyte. I was like, I'd have a million euro bill when I got back. But no, time of my life. Anyone who's into F1, go to it. And delighted to be there for such an iconic one. The fact that it was Kim's first as well.
Cool.
I am 1000% sure that she designed his helmet as well.
Yeah.
I thought it all weekend anyway. And then when she posed with
her laptops and everything are covered in that glittery stuff.
All weekend I kept saying it to the girls. I was like, that is her. It's going to be on the show that she designed it. And then the first night they landed, Chloe put up a big video just of the helmet. And I was like, and then the photo he put up of her holding the helmet.
Yeah.
So, but look, I think as well that this has proven that the Kardashian curse is not real because he's on podiums.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I know Timothy didn't win the Oscar, but he won other things.
Yes.
But like, this seems to be Lewis driving his best.
I'm really loving Lewis and Kim. I think they're like,
I love it now. Now that I've actually been around the atmosphere and just seeing how happy he was.
Yeah.
Because for a while, even I still thought it was a PR stunt, to be honest. I was just unsure.
Yeah, especially when those pictures of them in Miami came out, or not Miami, in Malibu, and like they were like frolicking in the ocean. I was like,
that's a setup.
That's a setup.
No, I do think they're the real deal. And like everybody as well down there, like his own teammates and stuff were calling him, calling her his girlfriend.
And even just her like watching him up on the podium, like she just looked so like.
Sorry, before we actually talk about Love Island, what do you make of Ethan Slater and Ariana Grande's breakup that we all knew had happened?
So not surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with how her people. Well, it's an insider, but it's her people are telling people, oh, the new album isn't about him though.
Yeah.
And the first song is I Hate That I Made You Love You. It's so obviously about Ethan Slater.
Yeah.
Have you listened to the lyrics?
Have you been seeing all the clips from her concert?
Yeah, she looks awful. It's so scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's terrible. How her team are not like looking out for her, I don't know. I can't see that tour continuing. Like, she looks exhausted.
Yeah.
She really, really does.
But like, it's so interesting the way, it's almost kind of like a movie, the way she's done the whole like set and stuff.
Mm.
And I don't know if you noticed, but like in like the visuals of the concert she has, because another way her whole thing for the Brighter Days album was about her getting her like memory wiped.
Oh yeah.
And stuff. And like she's seen like looking into these different rooms, and it's like her from
past
different eras.
Okay.
And in one of the scenes she's seen getting her memory wiped, and it's the outfit she wore during the One Love Manchester concert.
Oh no,
I was like, oh,
that's
god.
So sad.
Yeah.
No, like you forget how much stuff she's been through. But like, she's obviously not in a great place. And like all the quotes coming out is like, she's so happy, she's in a really, really good place. The album's not about Ethan. Like, they keep saying that. And obviously he's liking all her stuff and blah, blah. But like, it's so sad how all that happened. And like, you know, remember the personal essay his ex-wife wrote? Like, obviously the story has always been that they got together after their divorces. And I'm sure they did start dating after their divorces. But like, there's countless reports that like they were really flirty during filming and stuff like that. To like end a marriage, you know, both their marriages were ended, and now 3 years later it's just all over. I feel like the filming of Wicked, whatever the fuck was in the air or in the water, they all just got so weird during filming. Like, her and Cynthia lost crazy amounts of weight. They had a very intense, bizarre relationship with each other. She and Ethan had a crazy relationship. And now that it's over, everyone's like, oh shit.
And it's
like a fever dream.
It's really difficult to talk about, because I know like she's done like statements herself, being like, you know, it's not right to comment on people's bodies.
Yeah, I agree
like
with that.
But
then there's concern and there's talking about your body.
Look very unwell. And Yeah, it's a tough one to broach.
No, I do think talking about bodies isn't good, but there's like randomly bitching about how someone's looking, and then there's like concern for her well-being. Yeah. It is different.
I genuinely think there is a really like dangerous thing
going
about
on the industry right now.
Like, yeah, just with Ozempic and all that
I know,
stuff.
I agree.
The amount of people that are so dangerously thin at the moment,
know,
and it's
really
being
scary.
Completely normalized.
90s heroin chic is like back.
Yeah.
It's really scary. I remember like when the Kardashians got really famous at the start, feeling really like, oh my God, finally a celebrity. Like
yeah.
back then, no curvy celebrities
no.
I existed at all.
No.
And Kim was like one of the first people to have an ass. Like I remember being like,
yeah.
oh my God, I could maybe look kind of like them. Like I remember
yeah.
thinking that when I was younger, but it was always like Kate Moss vibes,
yeah.
like absolute anorexia looking, you know, like most people.
Yeah.
And like size zero, like sample sizes, that being how you look. And then I remember the Kardashian era being like, oh, brilliant. And now we're like back again.
Yeah.
I feel like it's really gone crazy.
It's very scary. And like, I actually loved it. Charlene Murphy actually posted a video a while ago on TikTok. You know the way she always films herself
yeah.
like making her like meals and stuff, and she was like, I actually think it's so important for people to be on the show talking about food and how they enjoy food.
Yeah, Sophie
and
Murray did a video as well. I don't know if
yeah.
you saw hers. Like, I don't think there's enough people talking about the problem with Ozempic.
Yeah,
there's a lot of like, oh, fair play, like
yeah.
But there is also a really dangerous
yeah.
side to Ozempic,
and I do understand that it, like, when you need it, it's absolutely working for people, and that's totally fine. And I know that it's like helping people that have like endocrine issues as well. Like
yeah.
it's meant to be helping people that have endometriosis.
It
and
is
stuff.
Meant to be for health reasons,
yeah.
not for vanity.
Yeah.
And I do genuinely have a problem with people that do it for
yeah.
vanity.
And
that's also because I actually need the drug.
Yeah.
Like I was on it
yeah.
back in 2019. So basically, initially, it's for diabetics.
Yeah.
And I'm diabetic type 1. And what it actually does is it sensitizes your body to insulin.
Yeah.
So like people who take insulin, which I do, sometimes your body can become desensitized, which is what happens to me. So like I have to keep taking more and more and more. So what Ozempic does is it makes you much more sensitive. So you need way less insulin, but
yes.
insulin is what makes you feel hungry.
Yeah.
So like when you get an insulin spike, you're like starving.
Mm.
So that's why, as a random side effect, that drug makes
yeah.
you not feel hungry. But I only lasted like, what was it, 5 weeks
oh,
on
like
it.
Like I remember, because
I was
that was
so
when Ozempic
sick.
Was really new. Like
it wasn't in the market at all.
It
wasn't even FDA
yeah.
approved. Yeah.
But I remember how you couldn't eat.
I couldn't eat.
Like,
I was like,
you were so
crawling
sick.
To the pharmacy
yeah.
every week. I was so ill.
You were so ill.
And I was on the lowest dose. I was on
0.25. Yeah.
People are on like 1.5 at the moment.
Yeah.
But I was really, really sick. Anyway, it was really devastating though, because it did really help my diabetes and I couldn't stay on it. And I did lose like a stone, but like because I could not eat.
Yeah.
And I remember having Christmas dinner and I literally took one forkful and I was like, I can't have any more.
Like
I had a horrible experience
grim.
On it. But I do know other people that are having similar experiences and
yeah.
they don't care because they want to lose weight. And I personally just don't agree with it.
Yeah.
And also like the shortages it's creating and stuff when people do need
people
it for health reasons.
Do not need it. They're
no.
already thin.
So there's people
and
that are size like 12 that are on it because they want to get to a size 8.
Yeah.
I'm like, go to the fucking gym.
Yeah.
I know this is going to sound really harsh, but like some people that I know that are on it have literally never been to the gym.
Yeah.
They've never tried.
It's
and
just
like
a shortcut.
If you've tried, and yeah, for sure, there's health problems
yeah.
and your doctor is like for your health.
Yeah,
but
yeah
like
Katya Mia, for example, she spoke about it yesterday and she said like she has had endometriosis since she was a teenager. She also has hypothyroidism, so it affects her thyroid,
yeah.
which affects your ability to lose weight. She was consistently exercising and was putting on weight.
It
she could
working.
Not lose weight.
Yeah,
so
and there are people that
her
have issues and genetic issues. And I, again, like Ruth Ann, she said it helps with her endometriosis.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that, but I just
it's just people
do
that
have
are
a problem
taking
with
it
this.
Purely to lose weight.
Yeah.
I
and
just
maybe
think
I'm
it's
coming from it from a bad.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's a mixture of it's creating everyone now really wants to be skinny, and then I obviously
yeah.
have selfish problems with it because I know it's actually meant to help people with
yeah.
diabetes, and
yeah.
I'm like, I can't get my head around it that like people are, and also like we still don't know like what the side effects are going to be. You're not meant to be on it for life. It's meant to be like, I do agree with it as something as a beginner of a weight loss journey. So if you need to lose, like, you know, people that are, you know, a bit heavier, if they have like 4 stone to lose, it's amazing to start it. But you cannot rely on a drug to like stop you eating for the rest of your life. Like, you just need a lot of control in order to not eat as much or eat healthier or go to the gym. So I think it's great to start it, but it's scaring me a little bit that people are on it now for like 3 years and the expense of it.
And girls are getting it so young as well. Like, the problem is you can buy it online now.
Yeah, I know people getting it on the black market too. And like, a lot of people like that have eating disorders are using it to like continue their eating disorder too. So yeah, like, it's obviously a bigger conversation, but I don't think it's being chatted about enough how problematic it is. It's almost being celebrated like too much. And maybe it's the industry that we're in that we're seeing people be like, lol, it's so cool, like, I've lost weight.
But it's just like, it's so concerning that like us with like normal bodies and even like a girl that like is already very naturally thin, put them next to someone who is like so dangerously thin and on Ozempic. And it makes, like, it's just weird.
It is scaring me as well that, like, we're already in this world where we filters and editing and all that stuff that young people are seeing. But now it's also, they're seeing it in real life too, though, as in people are starting to look like filters because they're getting so much work done. They're losing so much weight. And a lot, there's been a lot of commentary on it, I think, in Hollywood. Like, you know, the Oscars red carpet this year. Mm-hmm. There's definitely people over there being like, everybody looks a hella different. Do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people are changing.
That's the thing, though. Like, no matter what way you're thinking about it, being like, okay, I'll be happy when I'm thin, I'll be happy when I'm this weight.
You won't.
You just won't. No. Like, you won't. You'll be happy if you fucking have the slice of cake. You enjoy your life.
Life is for living.
Life is for living.
I was starving over there. I wanted food. I was like, it was probably a dream.
Like, any more canapes?
Maybe that's why they had no canapes. They're like, everyone's on Ozempic. I was like, I'm so hungry. But no, it's definitely a wider discussion. And I did love seeing Charlene's video. I loved seeing Sophie's video. Charlene is brilliant, actually, at just like being really authentic with her body and stuff. Speaking of Charlene, where the fuck
is she?
Why is she not on Love Island?
I know. And I feel like momentum is like, you know, drifting now.
Do you think?
Yeah.
But when did the big bombshells come in the past? Like Ekin and Maura? Because like keep in mind, came in like 2 weeks before the end of the show.
I know, but he was like an anomaly though. Like usually the bombshells that come in towards the end, like no one gives a fuck about
them. I for sure know for a fact that she has been in holding. Like, she definitely has been there. So whether she's left and she's back now, she was there.
Yeah.
100% she was there. Sitting in a villa over there.
I find it really weird the way they've been doing the bombshells.
Yeah, so fill me in because I haven't watched it in a week, obviously. Now.
So most recently they put in 2 bombshells, Victoria and Namibia. And Victoria's actually from Kildare.
Oh yeah, I saw that,
But they keep putting in girls. They haven't even put in any guys yet. But I'm like, you keep putting in girls and no fucking Charlene Murphy. Like,
and it's weird because the producers obviously see the hype around her. I've never in my life seen someone more hyped up to go in.
I know.
Ever.
Like, please.
But are they waiting for a bit of a...
I hope they don't wait for Casa Amor because I feel like if you go in as a Casa,
I don't think she'd do Casa. They must be waiting for one of the relationships to be solidified that she's meant to come in and shake it up. Is there any solid relationships?
Yeah. So last night, and this is actually part of my hot take for this week, but Sean and Lola are official. They've closed things off after 6 days.
So Fitzy's doing well.
Fitzy is doing well, and my hot take is like, you can't know
in six days
that you want to be with someone. Yeah. Like, I do understand, and there is an argument for it, that like they're together 24/7, and it's basically like being on a continuous date for like a week. So you do obviously get to know a person a lot
quicker.
So
what do you think they might drop in Charlene for Fitzy?
No.
Okay, because I was going to say, I don't think he's her type.
No, I don't think she'd go for him.
No.
But how wild to like close things off after a week. They've both basically said no one else is going to come in. Like, they're basically official.
I need to watch this back, okay? Yeah, but then that's maybe just to create an arc and they're going to cheat on each other.
But I don't know. I just think it's such a red flag. And like, I know we've discussed this before. Like,
when someone's too into dating,
if you go on a first date with someone and they're like really into you, such a red flag, because you're like, you're obviously like that with everyone.
I know, I always say this too. I genuinely do think that if someone's like obsessively texting.
Back in my single days and when I started going on like dating app dates, I used to be like, oh my god, yeah, like they were so like full on blah blah. I used to think that was a good thing. It's not a good thing.
No. And who told you that?
you did, Ali Ryan. Miss Ali Ryan.
Only because I've been through that so many times. Yeah.
Like, if they're really into you on the first date, they're all over you, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't I used make any to sense. Be like, oh my God, this is fab. But no, it means they're like that with everyone.
Yeah. And they are love bombing you. Yes. Also. Yeah. But this is the problem with modern dating and with Love Island, is they're either like that and they're love bombing, or they have complete commitment issues and they don't want to like settle at all or close it off at all. And I feel like that's what happens in the show quite a lot too. Mm. Like the amount of them in the last season that like weren't boyfriend and girlfriend but were exclusive. I was like, what is
the
fucking difference there? Yeah. Like, does that mean you can still ride around because you're not technically boyfriend and girlfriend?
I don't know.
It's the weirdest thing ever.
But who knows? Like, loads of people are kind of, they're, people are saying different things. They're kind of like, right, well, they're either going to be really tested later in the series, or maybe they will get married and like they just really like each other. I don't know.
The best couples I feel that have come from Love Island, though, were not the couples that closed off early. There was always some sort of arc with them. But then, look, do you remember Leanne and
Scott.
Yeah. Last season, they seemed perfect and then they had a wobble and then they got back. So like that's what probably needs to happen with Fitzy. Like, he'll be very boring on it if they're just closed off the whole time now.
Yeah.
So what do you think, when do you think Charlene could go in as someone that's been watching the show? Because I haven't seen it this week.
They need to do it soon. Like, because now, if they keep waiting, people are going to get pissed off, I think, and like just not care.
I'm obsessed with like the video content on TikTok and Instagram. Everyone like watching her videos, checking if the sun is shining out the window or if it's raining.
If they were smart, I feel like they should have put her in on Sunday or something.
I thought she was going in on Sunday.
Yeah. I don't.
A part
think
of me is scared
really
that she's out of the holding and that she's back in Ireland. Part of me is a little bit
and
scared.
And a part of,
me
is a bit like, have people been talking about it too much? Because that is a thing sometimes when it's too.
I don't know. I think it was the right amount, though, that there was hype. But I, if she isn't going in and she's home, which is possible, I would say it's because they told her they were waiting for Casa Amor, and I just don't think Charlene would do Casa Amor.
Yeah.
Like, Charlene is a girl's girl. Like, I don't think she would want to be the one to, like, tease a man away from his partner. Like, she's just not like that at all. Mm. So, I don't know. I have a
negative
feeling.
She definitely has been getting ready to go in, though. Like, fresh extensions.
She was 100% over there.
Brows, nails.
She was in holding 1,000%. Yeah. I just don't know if she is anymore. I don't know. She definitely was there. So she's either still there and the stuff that she's posting is old.
I'll be so disappointed if she doesn't go in.
Yeah, me too. I but I don't know, a lot of
but
time
has
passed.
But they also, like, at the end of the day, it is a TV show and the producers pick the people to go in based on who
other
they think
people,
might
like
couple up with someone. They don't just randomly throw
there
people
in.
There
also has been multiple people that have said to us before, though, that they were flown over, waited for 2 weeks, and then they were told that it was Casa, and they were like, no.
Yeah.
They refused to do Casa. Casa is a very risky move, and it doesn't put women in the best light in particular, because their job is to basically get a guy away from another girl. That's just not Charlene's vibe at all. It really, really isn't. But it's hoping that she is there and that the videos she's posting are all. But I just noticed the last 24 hours she's been putting up loads with the new hair.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
my concern is that, they'll just wait too long and the momentum will just die.
Is there anyone in there you think that would be your type? So maybe they need to put a few more men in
there. I think potentially Samraj or maybe Lorenzo, but he's a bit of an arse.
So no, maybe they're not
else?
Good enough for our Charlene.
But my only concern as well is that they've put in loads of female bombshells so far. So they're due loads of guys.
Mm, yeah.
So
how many weeks
know.
Are we into it too?
This is the second week now. Okay. We're in week two.
And the halfway point is when Casa Amor is...
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Imagine if she doesn't go in.
I know. People will accuse us of fucking spreading rumors.
Wow. No, she was in holding for sure,
she
though.
She was.
And even that Centra ad still. She put up, like, Centra commented on it being like, it's giving bombshell energy.
I know.
So let's say a prayer and a hope that she's in this week at the latest. And if she's not this week,
pray.
I think we need to give up on it. She's not a Casa gal. Like, she just wouldn't go into Casa.
No, she wouldn't.
And I think girls that come in after Casa 2 don't last either.
No.
This is, it's the first 4 weeks are the formative.
Yeah, they
Unless
are.
She comes in on week, like, 3, which is this week, is it?
No, this is week 2 right now.
So next week.
So next
She's
week,
not in
maybe?
Next week. I'm giving up all hope.
Yeah.
I'm giving
up
all hope. But I really hope she goes
I
in.
Know.
I must catch up on all the Love Island episodes now and take a look and
I
see what's going on.
I would catch up on maybe...
The last three,
you don't
maybe?
Watch all of them.
The last three?
I'd watch the last three.
Yeah. I'm delighted Fitzy is doing so well, though. I keep seeing memes about him being a green flag.
Yes, he is coming across very well, which is good. I actually think he's just like a lover boy. He likes
being in
you
love.
Know, being in love. And that's obviously why he's had so many flames, according
come
to
out,
TikTok.
Coming on TikTok.
But yeah, him and Lola are like properly exclusive now. So we'll see what happens there.
Okay, well, we will leave it there. We'll be back next week. No more Monaco updates. So sad. But we will have Love Island updates and much more to chat about. So see you then.
Bye.
Bye.